listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. Happy Thursday to you. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Much love and many thanks to everybody tuned in and locked in all over North America. This is when I get started. 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific, every single weekday. That means Monday through Friday. And today's a very big day. It's NFL kickoff day. And we got a lot to discuss. Thank you so much to our producer holding it down, helping us out tonight in New York City, Nick Theodoro. And thank you to you for listening. Everybody on the free Odyssey app, A-U-D-A-C-Y. Everybody locked in on their local Infinity Sports Network affiliate, SiriusXM Channel 158. And if you got a smart speaker, you ask the speaker to play the Infinity Sports Network. And we got a full show for you. A lot to get into. Yeah, what's on the talk, NFO? Hey, Nick, you can keep playing the music. I love the music. There we damn right. Got a vibe going. My main man, former Steeler, former Jet, Willie Colon. He's going to come through and join us next hour. How about another one of my main men? My main man, Mike Danger from Rochester, the Fan, is going to join us in 20 minutes to talk Buffalo Bills. We had a lot of angry Buffalo Bills fans last night. And so we're going to get the real scoop as to what's going on in Buffalo. Busy show. Talk some NFL. I see Rudy Gobert is sick of Shaq. I can't wait for Shaq to go ahead and hit back. We'll get into that. Looks like we have some changes in how you might consume and watch sports over the next few years. Looks like Amazon is doing some more takeovers here. NFL is getting ready to go to Brazil. There's an MMA fighter who's just like, hey, there's nothing wrong with Brazil. People are actually looking forward to y'all coming here. Just take it easy. And so we're going to talk about a lot. And obviously, in about 2 hours from now, NFL season will officially be underway as the Baltimore Ravens are in Kansas City for what is going to be a, I don't want to say an overhyped or over-exaggerated game. This is the same matchup that we had last year in the AFC title game, the one where all of a sudden, Lamar Jackson was tasked with throwing a football around way, way, way too much. And we know what happened with the Chiefs. The Kansas City Chiefs are a team that won the Super Bowl. It's trying to go ahead and go for a three-peat this year. And so we'll dive a little bit deeper into both everything going on with Baltimore and Kansas City in their seasons. And you know, last night I gave you a top six list. Really took a look at a lot of the teams that I think have the best chances and opportunities to win a championship this year. I gave you Kansas City number one, but it's not a shock to me. It shouldn't be a shock or a surprise to you that a lot of the responses and the calls that we took yesterday, it was people saying, oh, the Buffalo Bills are good, the Buffalo Bills are bad. Or we had a couple of people just talking about Lamar Jackson, who has always been a quote-unquote controversial figure as a quarterback in the NFL, despite his success, even to this day. Barton, borrow a little bit of a line from Deontay Wilder, to this day, and people still have some negative things to say about Lamar Jackson. I guess that's what happens when you're on top. But the fact of the matter is, Lamar Jackson wants to get to where Patrick Mahomes has been, and the same thing when it comes down to Josh Allen. And so the Bills, we're going to have that conversation with Mike Danger, going to join us from the Fan in Rochester, chat it up with him in about 20 minutes. Before I do anything else, kind of give you a quick update on some of the other NFL news that has taken place throughout the day. It's a very simple question to our producer this afternoon, this evening, Nick Theodoro. It's been, I don't know, a month, 2 months, 3 months, four
months. It's been a while, yeah.
4 months. How are you? Doing good?
I've been great. How you been, JR?
I'm okay. You are you eagerly anticipating the start of this NFL season?
I'll answer your question by telling you I'm a New York Giants fan.
Okay. All right. Is Daniel Jones going to be around next year?
I hope not. Unless he has like an amazing season somehow.
How long will it take for Malik Nabers to get sick of Daniel Jones?
I think he is already.
How long will it take before Giant fans start booing Daniel Jones?
I could hear them right now.
Okay, there we have it. The excitement of a New York Giants fan. I get it. Let's talk. Well, you know what? Let's stay. Let's stay in the division. Let's stay in the NFC East. Because as Nick Theodoro just said, there are a lot of people who are probably sick and tired of Daniel Jones, including his wide receiver, who has yet to receive an official regular season pass from him. Let's go to Dallas, because there was news that came down the pipe today that the Dallas Cowboys are getting a little bit closer to finalizing a deal and finalizing a contract with their star quarterback, Dak Prescott. Now, is this going to happen? I don't know. I said weeks ago, once CeeDee Lamb got his deal and once CeeDee Lamb got his contract, I thought and still believe, because today is Thursday, the regular season starts tonight with our first full slate of Sunday games. This is on Sunday in 2-3 days. And the fact is, I think they'll get the deal done right before the season starts, because it's the Dallas Cowboys, and because you have to have excitement and there has to be attention. And you take away from the start of the season, every game needs to talk about Dak and his new contract. Dallas Cowboys start their season in the afternoon in Ohio against the Browns. Well, how about this? Jerry Jones last night sat down on a Stephen A. Smith's show, and Jerry Jones had some thoughts about Dak and how much talent was around him and quote unquote needing to reap the benefits of the investment so far. This is what he said last night. Listen to Jerry Jones.
We have the challenge of not only recouping what we have spent on him over the last 4 years, we've got to add that to what we're going to be paying him for the future. Mm-hmm. Now, that's not Dak's problem, only in that it's the Dallas Cowboys' problem, because that money is not going to be there to spend on supporting cast. Mm-hmm. And so we've got to ask ourselves, can we have the kind of success that Dak deserves, we deserve, his teammates deserve, our fans deserve? Mm-hmm. Can we do that and get in the range to afford Dak? I think we can.
Oh, my goodness. We know the economics of football. Let me ask a rhetorical question here. The San Francisco 49ers, for the past 5 years, for the past decade, they've been competing for championships with different iterations of the team. You can go from Jimmy Garoppolo on now to Brock Purdy. If you look at the current, look at how much money they're throwing out. And they're going to the Super Bowl. They're smacking around the Dallas Cowboys. And yes, there are economics there, but you got to pay the dudes, okay? CeeDee Lamb got paid. Dak Prescott will eventually go out there and get paid. Michael Parsons will get paid. Like, why Jerry Jones is sitting around telling everybody that, oh, well, it depends on what happens with Dak, and what happens with Dak will determine, you know, how much we'll be able to pay the rest of the roster with the sound. Yeah, we understand that. The 49ers can do it. What's the difference between you and why are you talking about it? I know someone who probably doesn't care too much about what Jerry Jones had to say about the deal, despite the fact that there's a report today that they're getting closer to getting it done. Man, I remember this from right before the holiday. Just last week, this is a smart man for saying this, Dak Prescott was asked, hey, do you listen to what Jerry Jones has to say? And Dak Prescott had a very clear answer. Listen to
that. How do you feel about Jerry said the negotiation isn't about your merit as the Cowboys quarterback, but more about their cap situation? What do you take from that when he says, you know, it's not really about what you're doing?
Yeah, I understand that. That's the business and the nature of this game that we play. Yeah, I mean, I stopped honestly listening to things that he says to the media a long time ago. So, doesn't really hold weight with me.
And this man, Jerry Jones, if there's one thing that we know he loves, it's the sound of his own voice. It is chatting with the media. It is delivering messages and trying to let people know I'm the boss. I make the decisions.
Instead of just going out there and doing the work, Jerry Jones wants to be a salesman for the Cowboys. He wants to be an advocate for the team. Because as he said 2 weeks ago, Jerry Jones says, can't nobody run the team like I do. Nobody can come in and be general manager like I am. I know and understand the intricacies of the team. Nobody else can come in and do this. Well, do what? Go 12-5 every year and get the boot? Do what? Send a roster out there that is going to help Dak by doing what? Bringing back his buddy Ezekiel Elliott? Having a running back by committee? Having CeeDee Lamb have to be the primary target all the time? Dallas Cowboys look naked to me. They walked out the house and they forgot to put a belt on. They forgot one shoe. And socks on the wrong foot. They look like they didn't finish getting dressed before they left the house. They look a mess. I told you yesterday during my top six list, go ahead, hit rewind on the free Odyssey app. Listen to the top six yesterday. Had a lot of people up in arms about the Bills. I had the Texans. Texans were on the list. Dallas Cowboys were nowhere to be found. I'm not a betting man. I'll tell you this much. I ain't got no money on them Dallas Cowboys winning no championship. I feel very certain that they won't. Dallas Cowboys, legacy team in the NFL, legacy franchise, one of the most popular teams in North America, the most valuable sports franchise on earth. Owner can't move out the way. I expect a big splash come Sunday is the announcement. Probably, maybe it's the Saturday before. Whenever it is, whenever it gets leaked, it's going to be the big story. Jerry wants the story to be bigger than everything else. I think a deal will get done with Dak. The Cowboys will go into the regular season. They'll finish with a record above 10 or so wins. They'll get into the playoffs. And they'll do what they do every year. Disappoint. Congratulations to Cowboys. Good luck, Dak. I think the deal will get done. And you know what? A matter of fact, speaking of quarterbacks, this one already got the boot from his team. He's now on another team. Russell Wilson. I couldn't believe this. Well, I could. Earlier today, we got a report that the man who is trying to revitalize his career at the age of 36 years old, he turns 36 in 2 months. Russell Wilson is dealing with another calf issue. Do I know what it is? No, I'm not Russell Wilson. I don't know what his leg feels like. But I know every time Russell Wilson has to take a trip to the trainer's room, I know there's one guy in the building who just peeks around the corner and goes, is it my turn? And that's Justin Fields. Earlier today, and the only way that somebody like Mike Tomlin could do it, Mike Tomlin stood in front of reporters and fielded questions after he told everybody Russell Wilson has an issue with his calf. Listen to this.
Russ Wilson was a limited participant today. His calf got tight, so we wanted to exercise some precaution. We'll see what tomorrow looks like and kind of go from there. Questions?
Mike, what are any long-term concerns about Russ's calf?
None.
When did he report the Titans?
He was a limited participant.
Mike, same calf as training camp?
Yes.
How much does that impact game planning for Sunday?
It really doesn't at all, to be honest with you.
Does he have to go get it looked at or examined by anybody?
We probably will, just to exercise an abundance of precaution.
Uh-huh. That man answers questions. Get him in and get him out. You got something to say? Say it now. Don't say it at all so I can say nothing to you. And Pittsburgh Steelers are supposed to be here. Well, they will be here in Atlanta on Sunday to start off their season. I mean, if Russell Wilson is dealing with a calf issue that is still not resolved, what happens when the 300-pound guys start to fall and sit on Russell Wilson? What happens when the 250-pound guys, the linebackers, start clocking them? What happens every now and then when the 200-pound guys, the defensive backs, start chipping them? Russell Wilson doesn't move like he used to. If he's already dealing with a calf issue dating back to the summer, and we haven't even played game number one, I think my thought process on how early, soon, and often Justin Fields plays, oh, it's going to be different. I think we'll see more of Justin Fields this upcoming Sunday than I ever thought. The NFL season is upon us. It's opening day. It's opening night. It's in Kansas City. We got the Chiefs. We got the Ravens. Tomorrow in Brazil, we have the Packers. We have the Eagles. The NFL is here, and so am I. We got a lot to discuss and a lot to talk about. We'll dive a little deeper into the Chiefs. We'll dive a little deeper into the Ravens. We'll talk about some of the other teams. I mean, how about the Browns, right? They're playing the Cowboys. Nobody's talking about the Browns. So we got a lot to get into. I told you Willie Colon is going to join us from New York, former New York Jet, former Steeler, to talk about both those teams and everything going on in the NFL. Willie will join us next hour. But coming up next, I need to put part of a conversation we had yesterday to bed. What the hell is going on in Buffalo? How do the fans feel in Buffalo? Are they optimistic? Are they realistic? Are they still jumping through flaming tables? What's going on with the stadium? On the other side, the Buffalo Bills, the team that a lot of people look at and just go, you didn't get the job done. What makes me think you'll do it this year? Mike Danger is going to join us from Rochester on the Fan on the other side of the break. Congratulations. It's Thursday, opening day for the NFL. You are locked into the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Getting ready to be joined by Mike Danger from the Fan in Rochester to get some intel on these Buffalo Bills. We had a lot of, I don't want to say a lot of upset callers, but we certainly got a lot of callers with varying opinions from Buffalo yesterday about what they think this team will or will not do. I did not have them on my top six list. And so a lot of people, hey, what's going on with the Bills? And so once we get a hold of Mike, we will certainly have him on. 855-212-4227. Before we do that, right now we have Lee from Baltimore as he's getting ready for another Baltimore Ravens season. Lee, you're on the JR Sport Brief Show, the Infinity Sports Network. What's up?
What's up, JR?
How are you?
Man, hey, I'm not on Mars right now, but I will be later on. What's going on with you? How you been? You a hard man to get in contact with, JR?
I'm not that tough to get a hold of.
Okay.
Well, you're here now. What's going on?
Man, listen. You already know what's going on, man. Okay. It's that time, JR. It's that time. We about to see Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry in the backfield together. We about to really witness that in about an hour and a half right now, JR.
So here's the
question.
That's
what everybody waiting on right
Lee,
now.
Lee, I got a simple question, and we're going to get more into the Ravens next hour. Simple question, simple answer.
Yes, sir.
Is this combination of Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry, are they running to a Super Bowl? Are they running to the Vince Lombardi Trophy?
Absolutely. We're doing this for Jacoby Jones. What do you think?
Okay.
5 years
All
ago,
right.
We was in New Orleans, and we won that Super Bowl. We're going back to New Orleans, and we're going to win that Super Bowl.
You're going to beat the 49ers again, huh? Beat the 49? Okay. All right, Lee.
Yes,
we're gonna,
that's where we're going.
We're going to talk.
Listen.
Well, hold
on. Real quick, though, JR.
Who
got on the game? If you had $1 million and you had to bet on one team, who would you put your money on tonight?
Lee, we're gonna talk about this next hour, okay?
And the Buffalo Bills fans, y'all not making it over 500.
Okay, there we go. That is the exact reason. I don't know. What is it? Between the Buffalo Bills and the Ravens fans, I have no idea. That's the exact reason that we're having this chat right now with my main man, host of the Sports Bar up in the Fan in Rochester. It's my main man, Mike Danger. Mike, how are you?
JR, man, it's great to hear your voice. Thanks for having me on. Doing well.
All the time. I appreciate you. I'm glad you're doing well. I'm sure you heard our last caller, Lee from Baltimore, say that the Buffalo Bills are going to be sub-500. I wanted to chat with you because the Buffalo Bills have undergone so many changes between last year and this year when it comes to personnel and expectations. Probably the biggest name outside of Josh Allen is now gone. Diggs is in Texas. What is your overall impression on the offseason that the Buffalo Bills have had?
I mean, me personally, I wasn't a big fan of a lot of the moves that they made, and they made a move to get younger, and they made a move to bring in some new talent, some new faces, moving on from guys like Mitch Morse, Gabe Davis. You mentioned Steph Diggs. That's the big one. But in doing that, they really kind of put themselves in a hole with the dead cap. And I think that the talent on this roster versus the talent that they've had the last few years just isn't quite the same. Now, if you ask Bills fans in the area, I think a lot of them are realistic with expectations going into this season and recognize that this just might not be the year where, like in years past, you're looking at them and viewing them as a Super Bowl contender. The funny thing is, JR, like, I think it could go one of two ways, and I don't think there's any gray area here. Either they're going to the Super Bowl and winning it all with Josh Allen and Sean McDermott this year, or they're missing the playoffs entirely, and I don't know that there's any middle ground there between those two scenarios.
Mike Danger is joining us from The Fan in Rochester. When you talk about there not being any middle ground, you're going to either win it all or you're going to crash out. What does that mean for Coach McDermott? You know, we've heard for a few years that he's changed his attitude. He's changed his outlook. With a younger team, is he going to be given an opportunity to see things through if they have to go through more of a reset?
I believe so. I think that Sean McDermott is the head coach that Terry Pegula wants. I believe that Ben Bean is the general manager that Terry Pegula wants, and nothing's going to happen to Sean McDermott if they fall short of making the postseason. And I think that dead cap is part of the reason why I think he's going to be safe. That it's hard to field a winning roster when you're carrying the second most dead cap in the league behind only Denver. And we know why Denver is carrying as much dead cap as they are. So I think McDermott is going to be safe regardless of the, I mean, it has to be a spectacular kind of flame out for them to look at Sean McDermott and put him on any sort of hot seat, given all that he's done to resurrect this team from the drought era Buffalo Bills. And plus, you've got a new stadium on the horizon, and you can still make the argument that in the AFC East, the Bills have the best head coach and the best quarterback. So you have to believe that there is a chance that they have enough, even with a depleted roster from last season, even with a turnover like they've had this offseason, that they have enough to still win the AFC East. And if they get into the dance, who knows? Anything can happen, right?
Yeah. Mike, you talk about the quarterback being Josh Allen, and it doesn't matter whether you poll the players or the coaches. We know he's one of the best quarterbacks in the game, arguably number two right behind Patrick Mahomes, depending on who you talk to. Is there a concern that it seemed like at times over the years he's had to put on the cape and do too much? And we see the turnovers as a part of the game, a part of his style. Is there a concern with this younger roster that he might revert back to that a little bit more?
My concern is that there might be a lack of chemistry. There's only one receiver on this team, his name is Khalil Shakir. He's the only receiver that has caught a ball from Josh Allen in their career. I mean, you've got a whole new receiving core, and I would just say it's a little less than inspiring. I mean, we want to believe that Curtis Samuel is going to revert to what he was when Joe Brady was in Carolina as their offensive coordinator, but that remains to be seen. We want to believe that Mac Hollins will have a season where he catches more than 20 balls, which is something he's only done once his entire career. That remains to be seen. What does MVS still have in the tank? What does the rookie, Keon Coleman, have to offer? That was kind of a controversial move when you're the Buffalo Bills and you trade away your first-round pick to the Kansas City Chiefs only to watch them take a guy that I'm sure we're going to see showcased tonight in Xavier Worthy. So a lot of these moves kind of feel less than inspiring, and the lack of chemistry between Allen and these receivers, you saw it from time to time in practice during training camp. I think there is going to be a little bit of a growth process here, especially early on in the season, where you just might not see these guys on the same page. But, JR, when you're talking about Josh Allen and you talk about the gunslinger and the hero ball mentality, that's the biggest thing that concerns me, is can Josh Allen consistently make the right decisions? Can he take what the defenses give him? Because it's when he tries to force that ball, and maybe Steph Diggs was a part of that, but when he tries to force that ball, that's usually when the mistakes happen, and they can be sometimes crippling. There were games last year that you could say they lost those games simply based on the decisions made by Josh Allen.
Mike Danger is joining us from the Sports Bar on The Fan in Rochester, New York. You mentioned Keon Coleman. He was asked by a reporter last week, 2 weeks ago, when is it just going to be about football and not jackets and coats and cookies. And his response was, it's always been about football. Has he been embraced by the fans, or is there still a little bit of, we need to see him on the field and not his personality?
We had the chance to be at every practice for Buffalo Bills training camp. And, you know, practice in Rochester is open to the fans, and they're well attended. And I can say, without question, the most popular name, the most popular Buffalo Bill, not named Josh Allen, this year at camp was Keon Coleman. So him coming in with the jacket and loving the cookies and having the personality that everybody has gravitated towards, it's ingratiated him with fans in a big way before he's even made a single play in his NFL career. So I think expectations are high, but I also think that Sean McDermott has shown over the course of time that he's reluctant to give the keys to a rookie right away. And we saw even last year with Dalton Kincaid, it took a good half a season and a Dawson Knox injury for that matter for them to start to trust Dalton Kincaid in the pass game. And I think this year that trust bleeds over and you'll see a lot of Dalton Kincaid in the passing game. And I think Keon Coleman will get worked in more and more as the season goes on.
Well, Mike, you mentioned injury. I mean, if I take a look at the defense just over the past several years, and even now, Matt Milano is out with an injury, Tre'Davious White having to have dealt with injuries, and Hyde and Poyer, and those guys are not here right now, whether they're gone completely or not signed or retired, whatever the case might be. This is a new defense. There's a lot of new faces here. What are the expectations with this group?
I think the expectation is it's a Sean McDermott defense. And if it's a Sean McDermott defense and you just know where you need to be and you're true to your assignment, you should be okay. But, JR, you and I both know when you look at this roster and you see some of the names that are stepping in or the names that you mentioned, there's a drop-off in talent. Dorian Williams is an unknown. He's a second-year player who they drafted to someday potentially be the replacement for Matt Milano. Well, he's going to get thrust into that role a lot sooner than I think a lot of people anticipated in the middle of that defense at linebacker. Damar Hamlin starting on Sunday against the Cardinals was probably not in their plans. They drafted Cole Bishop in the second round for a reason, but he hasn't been available throughout the course of training camp. And as I mentioned, with rookies, they're a little bit hesitant to hand over the keys to the car right away unless you absolutely have a grasp on what it is that they're asking you to do. So I anticipate that Bishop at some point will get back on the field and be a contributor in the back half of that defense for the Buffalo Bills. Williams is an unknown, and on the defensive line, I think they're putting a lot of stock in a veteran and a future Hall of Famer and hoping that they can get something, anything, out of Von Miller after what was probably his worst, no question, his worst season as a pro when he was basically invisible returning from that ACL the back half of the 2023 season.
That contract that they gave him, given his age, when he had come over, was always a little bit questionable in the first place, and that one is not looking all that good. Given everything that we've discussed and your concerns, do you think they're going to make the postseason? Is the AFC East, is it too competitive between the Jets and the Dolphins? How do they fit in that mix? What do you expect?
I struggle with it, man. I really do. I think, you know, I look at the AFC East as a whole, and on paper, I don't think there's a question that the Jets have the more talented roster on paper. I think the Dolphins are a good team. They're good enough to beat up on bad teams, but haven't really shown the ability to beat up on the AFC's elite teams. So I think they're a factor as well. And I think the Bills, carrying all this dead cap space and kind of looking towards the horizon of a year next year in 2025 where they can start to make moves again and bring in some of the talent that made them the contender that they were year in and year out, is more in line with what I think the expectation should be for this team. I have them winning 8 games on the outside looking in, and it makes me a little unpopular in the area, JR, I'm not going to lie, but I only know what I know, and I just see this roster on paper, and I need to see it with my eyes to know that, okay, maybe they are real. Maybe we are downplaying. Maybe they should be considered the same contender that they've been for the last 3 or 4 years. They do have the best quarterback in the division. They do have the best coach in the division. And if that's enough to carry you to a division title, then I'll be happy to be wrong. But I've got them at 8 wins on the outside looking in.
Yeah, we certainly have got quite a varying opinions that of people who have called us up. That sounds in line with what we've heard from some folks. Hey, last question, Mike. We've heard about the stadium. What's the deal with the new one? I know it's right across the street. I've had people calling me upset about the PSL, personal shop licenses, and what's going on with the stadium?
This is a new thing for Bills fans, right? I mean, like, so many NFL teams have had new stadiums built in the last 20 years that you just have come used to the idea that if you want a seat in the new stadium, you've got to purchase the PSL. And you know how much those range in price. I mean, they could be anywhere from $5,000 to $50,000, depending on what market you're in, what stadium amenities they're offering. And so for Bills fans who have been going to Highmark Stadium for generations and have passed season tickets down from generation to generation, there's a little bit of sticker shock here. To date, they've sold just over 3,600 PSLs. And this is a stadium that's set to open in 2026. So when you break that down and you look at the pace at which they're selling these PSLs, they've got a lot of work to do in terms of selling these PSLs, and they've got a lot of goodwill to kind of conjure up with fans who look at that price tag and just can't imagine stomaching that much of an investment, financial investment, in a team that they've loved for as long as they've loved them. So it's still a little bit of an unknown. Everything we see about the stadium looks magnificent, and I'm sure the people that have invested in the PSLs and have taken the virtual stadium tour are going to be wowed by their new game day experience. The Highmark Stadium is being torn down for good reason. It's old, and they needed a new stadium. So I think everybody recognizes that, but when you factor in the cost that this is taxpayer revenue going into the stadium, and now on top of that you have to pay for the PSL, it doesn't sit well with a lot of Western New Yorkers.
I'm sure. And look, the Buffalo Bills are going to have to pay the fans a whole lot more money when they show up the shovel. Unless, and tell me, is the new place going to be heated? The seats and everything, you have to have some heat there instead of the shoveling of the snow, right? A little roof or something?
I think their plan is, I think they've modeled it after Hard Rock in Miami, JR, where they're going to have a good portion of it. Not necessarily domed, obviously, but it will be covered and shielded, hopefully, from the elements. Because, yeah, the idea that, you know, as a community, they've done everything for this team is that, you know, beyond supporting them on Sundays, they'll show up and they'll shovel. And Bills Mafia is Bills Mafia for a reason. They're a great community. They're a giving community. They're always willing to lend a helping hand. But at some point, you have to say, come on, what are we talking about here? This is a brand new stadium, and you want to pay us $20 an hour to shovel out our seats? After we pay all this money for the PSL, what are we really talking about here?
I need Madison Square Garden to have the Knick fans help clean up the popcorn after the game. That's what I need. Coming that way. Hey, Mike, thank you for the time. Where can people follow you, keep up with you, and listen to you and all your work on The Fan in Rochester?
You got it, JR. Appreciate the time. Yeah, we're The Fan in Rochester. You can find us in the free-to-download Odyssey app. I host a show called The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia, my co-host Gene Battaglia, and I every weekday afternoon from 3 until 6. You can search us out in the Odyssey app, and you can follow me on X at AKA Mike Danger. Appreciate you, man.
All the time. We'll catch you on down the line when we get a little bit further in the season. Enjoy the start of the year, Mike.
You got it, JR. Enjoy tonight.
No doubt about it. That Mike Danger, co-host of The Sports Bar and The Fan in Rochester, West New York. He says he has the Buffalo Bills in that 8-win range. I think so too. 8-10. They're right on that line. The Buffalo Bills are of just missing the postseason or barely getting in. Either way, I don't think they have enough talent to win a championship. I think that temporarily, and we don't know what the future holds, I think that has sailed. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. We're going to take a break. When we come back on the other side, you know, I briefly mentioned this team. I want to talk about the squad that will be opposing the Dallas Cowboys. Nobody is talking about the Browns. We'll get into that. Talk more Ravens, talk more Chiefs, get to your calls. It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. Thank you so much to Mike Danger, host of The Sports Bar on The Fan in Rochester, Western New York, for joining us to talk some Buffalo Bills. I know there's some varying opinions on the Bills. He thinks that they are probably closer to an 8-win team. I'm putting them in that 8-10 win range. This is the part we also have to be realistic about. The Jets with Aaron Rodgers should be better. The Dolphins are already good. And between the three teams, they're just going to beat the hell out of each other. Now, they have the benefit of eating up wins as they take on the New England Patriots, but you can't play them every week. You can't play them all season long. Now, the Buffalo Bills have certainly taken a step back. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. I told you I also want to get into the other team that will be playing against the Dallas Cowboys, the Browns. We'll get there. But right now, let's go to Illinois and talk to Brent. Hey, Brent, you're on the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network.
Hello, JR. How are you doing today on when the NFL gets started?
Yeah, I'm very well. How are you?
Terrific, and I enjoyed listening to your show yesterday on NFL Eve. Okay. And your top six list, you picked all playoff teams from a year ago. But I have mixed feelings. This is a happy call. I have mixed feelings. I hope you are wrong because I'd like to see a new NFL Super Bowl champion. But okay. I hope you are right to the T because I like your analysts. And my question is, I'll get to the point, then hang up and listen. Okay. What if you are right when the regular season ends and all six teams are in the playoffs? And what if you're right after the Super Bowl, the Chiefs are due to three-peat? But your top six was like a bracket, and it was perfectly set. What? I just want to know, what would you do? Would you go back to NFL Eve? And but I'm also hoping you're right. So thanks, JR.
Well, Brent, you going to hang up? Don't hang up.
Okay, I'm not.
Thanks, good. What the hell is the question? Like, what are you asking me right now? If I do what? If I get it wrong? Oh, so let me clarify something, Brent.
Okay, sure.
The top six list that I shared yesterday are the teams that I believe have the best odds and chances to be a champion, to win it all, okay? And, yeah, okay. They are playoff teams. So for anyone who didn't hear the show last night, A, where the hell were you? And, B, if you were busy and you weren't here, you can hit rewind on the free Odyssey app and listen from yesterday. I had the Texans at six. I had the Eagles at five. I had the Ravens at four, the Lions at three, the 49ers at two, and I had the Kansas City Chiefs at one. That was the top six list. And then there were teams just outside of that I felt they had a chance, but I didn't feel as strongly about. A team like another team on the rise, similar to the Texans with the Packers. I like the Texans more than the Packers. I feel more strongly about the Texans' defense. I also think they have better offensive weapons. There's other teams. So I'm not saying that these are the guaranteed teams that are going to the postseason. I'm almost certain or sure that at least maybe more of the teams here, one or two on my top six, are not going to get into the postseason. And we're going to have another team that gets in. And I mean, obviously, we know there's going to be more than six teams that get in, but we're always going to have some surprises. There's going to be a team that's decimated with an injury. And so this is the good part about things. By the time we get to less than 2 hours from now, about an hour and a half, there's no more lists. It's just time for the athletes to go out onto the field and compete. That's it. And we got to see what happens. Hopefully nobody gets hurt tonight. But we know injuries are a major part of the game, and they can really change some seasons. Brent, I hope that answered your question. Did it?
Oh, terrific. Yes, it did. Yes, it did.
Go Bears. Go Bears, right? I know you're from Illinois.
Go Bears. I think they have an outside chance.
Outside chance to do what?
To get in the playoffs.
Oh, okay. There you go. I had to clarify on what you thought this outside chance was.
Yeah.
Good man, Brent. I appreciate you. You got lotto numbers for me? You got lottery, Mega Millions, anything? No? Okay.
No, not today.
Okay. Maybe tomorrow.
But thank you, Chair.
Absolutely. Thank you, Brent, for calling from Illinois. That would have been nice. That would have been nice if he had some lottery number. That would have been real nice. Nick Theodoro, that was a nice caller. Wasn't he nice?
Yeah, he was very nice. And you're right, it would have been even nicer if he had some lotto numbers for you.
So I don't keep up with. Do you keep up with the Mega and all of that?
No, because I know no matter what, I have no chance of winning. So.
Whoa, what are the odds? Like, I don't know. The,
not
the
good.
The higher it goes, the lower your odds. But the bigger the pot, then, you know, one person walks away with How much money do they give away? A couple of hundred million, $1 billion is what they do now?
Yeah, the highest it gets is usually $700-800 million, but yeah, I know I got no shot, so.
The highest, this is what Google is for. What's the biggest, what do I type in? Lotto number? Is that what it
highest,
is?
Highest, check the Mega Millions. Mega Millions.
What's the highest Mega Millions?
I'll check it too, because you're busy hosting right now.
No, I'm not. Multitasking. Whoa! The largest jackpot ever won in the Mega Millions was August of last year. A single ticket out of Neptune Beach, Florida. Somebody retired? $1.6 billion? What?
I'll take that.
What do you do? Well, IRS takes half. But even still, what the hell?
That's still good.
What do you do with the rest of that?
You just won't see me again.
That's a good point. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. You'll hear us on the other side of the break. We're going to talk Chiefs. We're going to talk Browns. We're going to talk to Willie Colon, former Steeler and Jet. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, the Infinity Sports Network.